Amen. Fighting the battles of life. The battles in life take on a lot of different faces, don't they? The battles in life do a lot of different things to us. I have a few things. I don't know if I'm going to get through all this. It started out with 3 pages. I've trimmed it down to 2. And the last half of the second page is actually just kind of a quick fly through. I love the book of Judges. The book of Judges is unique to me. It's kind of like a transitional period. God was directed Israel all through the exodus of Egypt, all through the wilderness, into establishing the promised land through Moses, through Joshua. They heard from God directly. They were directed of God. The book of Judges come along, and we see kind of a roller coaster ride. Anybody else, you don't have to raise your hand to this because it might be a little bit of a negative stigma, but anybody else ever feel like your spirit walk is kind of any roller coaster ride? Sometimes you're like up on the mountain, I can run through a troop, I can leap over a wall, and then sometimes you're at the bottom and you just think, Lord, the heaven is brass and am I still yours? And I think the one song says it, I think it's true, sometimes you got to get enough faith just to tie your shoes, right? You just got to stir yourself up enough to get yourself out of bed and to get moving on with the day. And so the battles of life take on a lot of different. The book of Judges seems to speak so much to who I, you realize, and I did the math a while back. I'd have to kind of look at it again. I think it was about 40 or 45 years after the last part of Joshua, when all the people stood up and they said, as for me, or Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And all the people said, far be it from us to serve the other gods. We're going to serve the Lord also. We're going to walk with God also. And so Joshua said, all right, you're a witness today. It was something like 40 or 45 years later. I forget right offhand. We read in the first chapter of the book of Judges, and God says in Judges, he says, and Israel sinned and did not that which was right in the eyes, and God had to sell them out to it doesn't take 40 or 45 years in a nation isn't long, is it? Consider 45 years in a nation, I was 2 years old. That was how long? 1976 actually would have been 45 years. 1970, how many think 1976 was a long time ago? Raise your hand. I figured everybody under 18 would have raised their hand, double hands. 1976, it was a long time ago, but and consider what's happened in America in that 45 years. But what happens in a nation in 45 years seems like it can happen to a person in 6 months, doesn't it? Seems like they can go from being on fire, hungry for the things of God, to turning their face completely from God and marching in their own direction. And it's a sad thing. But the battles of life seem to come upon a person, and it seems to fight a person so much that it's so easy just to turn your face away. I respect men like Brother Daniel and Brother Joe. I've watched men who have lost their wives turn their face from God and walk another way. Or if not walk away from God, at least compromise in their walk with God to the point that you are worried and concerned about their salvation. And it's a shameful thing, and it's a burden. And I understand the burden that they carry and a burden that they that's upon them. But let me tell you what, there's battles in life that we've got to face, that we've got to press in. And if we're not faithful to God, and if we don't keep our eyes upon God, let me tell you, the past is the past. And all those things that we've built up till now, I don't want to ever look back and see as that as being a waste. I want to keep pressing on. I want to keep pressing on. I want to keep Brother Joe at 94 years old is pressed. Man, what an example. What an example. He hasn't let go. He hasn't let down church. He sat there. Me and Isaiah, was not this last time we were there, but the time before, we sat there and he looked at Isaiah and he just invested spiritually into Isaiah. It says, don't you know that you're fearfully and wonderfully made, created in the image and the likeness of God? And I sat there and thought to myself, he's still ministering. He's still giving all that he can, every chance he can, wherever he can. He's still, and I thought to myself, until the end, Lord, use me until the end. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. To the end, God, to the end. Bring me up. The battles of life weigh on you. They weigh on you so much that eventually you just want to throw up your hands and say, I quit. I quit. But God is always faithful and God is always supreme. And as you look at the book of Judges over and over and over and over and over again, God shows himself and proves himself. But it required something of the people too. I just wrote a few things down and it may be stretching a little bit. But you can feel some of this stuff in your own life. And so I wrote some of these things down. I want to talk about Othniel, Ehud, and I got to look at his name because I'm going to say it wrong, Shamgar. Good old Shamgar. Shamgar's got like two verses in the Bible that I found. He might have more, but I found two this morning. Good old Shamgar. How about that name? Othniel, I had more I written down. Those are the three that I settled on. The book of Judges, just chapter 3. I got to fly through this because there's a lot of reading. There's a lot of stuff in here. 5 through 11. And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites. Remember that. Dwelt among the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. And they took their daughters to be their wives and gave their daughters to their sons and served their gods. Let me just go back into verse 5 and said, if they never dwelt among them, that would have never happened. Right? And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord their God and served Balaam and the groves. And therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of, and I can't, I practice it, Cushan-Rishathaim, the king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served the king of Mesopotamia. Because you can do that when you're reading the Bible and you don't want to say a name. You'll just give their title instead. 8 years. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and he judged Israel and went out to war. And the Lord delivered the king of Mesopotamia into his hand, and his hand prevailed against the king of Mesopotamia. If you could say the name, I'll let you. I'm going to give his title. And the land had rest 40 years, and Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. Thank God for somebody that will come into your life and give you the strength and help that you need to overcome when you're fighting the battles of life. Israel, they kept doing it. They kept falling into sin. They kept laxing into areas. And let me tell you something. Othniel may not have been walking in sin. Sometimes you fight the battles in your life not because of your sin. Sometimes you fight the battles of your life because of somebody else's. Anybody else ever struggle because of what somebody else has done? Anybody in here ever deal with something in your heart, in your life, and you had a struggle, not because of what you've done, because of somebody else? Man, I tell you what, we live in a world, we're interconnected one with another, and I think that if you carry one another's burdens, you will struggle because of what somebody else has done. Let me tell you what, I heard a guy say, the President of the United States does not affect my life any. I think you're sadly mistaken, sir. I think the President of the United States does affect your life. I do think that we need to be mindful of local politics. I think they have more. Man, I tell you what, the President of the United States did not give us lockdown for almost 12 months. That was the governor of this state. He's a lot closer to us. And that impacted my life a whole lot more than what the President of the United States did. So you know, a little civics class in the midst of a message. It does affect, and we are interconnected one with another. And let me tell you, guess what? What people do at work affects your life. Right, Brother Dave? Whether they stay, whether they don't, whether they work hard, whether they don't work hard, it affects you. Whether they do what they're supposed to, whether they don't, it will affect you. You will struggle with what family members do. You'll struggle with what people do at the store. Anybody try to go to Walmart on Walton Avenue yesterday? I heard there was a little bit of a brawl. I heard somebody pulled something off the shelf and started beating on a pregnant woman. What people do will affect your life. We're interconnected. So sometimes you're going through something you ever sit down and ask yourself, why am I going through this? First thing you ought to do is you ought to self-examine. Is it me, Lord? There's not wrong in that. Get it right if it is. God is a God of grace. God is a God of mercy. But let me tell you what, it's not always about you. It's not always because of you. Sometimes God's going to use you to set in order some things that need to be set in order. But that means you're going to struggle too. Sometimes you fight and just because it's the natural thing in this world. So sometimes you have a battle in your life because of something you've done. Sometimes you have a battle in your life because of something somebody else has done that's close to you. Sometimes you have a battle in life because life is just a battle at times. But no matter what the reason is, you still struggle, don't you? Othniel, he comes on the scene and Israel as a nation had intermingled with people they should have never intermingled with. Anybody else ever do that? And you don't have to raise your hand. You found yourself in a relationship that continually, slowly, ever so gently pulled you away from God until you look and you see to yourself, I'm nowhere near God. I was doing that one time. I was moving farther, and I didn't realize it. It was like the boiling frog thing. You know, you throw a frog in freezing cold water, he'll jump out. You throw him in boiling cold water, and he jumps out. But if you put him in lukewarm, nice, comfortable water, they say you can either freeze him or you can boil him, and he'll stay in there because he gets used to it, gradually used to it, until he's gradually used to it to death. And old swivel hips got up there and saying, uh-huh, uh-huh. And they showed him from the waist up on TV. They wouldn't show him from the waist down on TV. Because they, decency, right? And don't let your daughters go to one of his concerts. Oh no. Oh no. She may fight, she may kick, she may scream, but don't let her go see old swivel hips. Mm-mm. And then you shoot ahead to the 80s, and we're not supposed to let our daughters go to the rock concerts because the mosh pit up in front, and they throw themselves up against each other and they pick each other up and they carry, right? And all this kind of, all these stupid things. And it just gets worse and worse and worse. Now we can't let our daughters go to New York City because I guess it's legal to walk around without a shirt whether you're a boy or a girl in New York City. It just keeps getting worse and worse. And you intermingle and you mingle yourself in with those that you shouldn't. And before you know it, they've drawn you away. And now you're serving their gods because they won't serve your God. They're pulling you away. Now you're serving their God. They formed an alliance with other nations, verse 6 says. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 says, Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And it's not like I go out of my way to avoid people. I don't know what to talk about when I'm with them. Somebody told me, he says, you're kind of shallow. We get talking about this and you just get quiet. It don't interest me. I wouldn't mind to sit down and watch a football game. It's kind of fun. But man, have you heard these people that rattle off stats at the top of their mind? Yeah. It's their religion. It's their world. I'm just not that interested. Did you see that pass in the third quarter? When he threw a 30-yard Hail Mary pass and the receiver caught it and he ran for 30 yards, avoided six tackles and made a touch. Wasn't that awesome? I could get on that. That's pretty fun. But that's about as deep as I'm going to go. But let's open up the Word of God. Let's just start talking. I love to sit and listen to Brother Daniel talk because he's just a wealth of a mine of information. He'll just start, well, yeah, I saw that here and this is here. And then if you go there, this is, and I'm like, whoa, shame on me. I need to step it up. So that's what I want to dig into. Be not unequally yoked. It's not real hard because they really don't want to spend time with me. They just don't. I don't have fellowship. I had a girl come up to me at work one day. She goes, you never sit at the table anymore. I looked at her and says, it's really nothing there for me. What do you mean? I said, well, the conversation doesn't really interest me. You're saying we're not interesting to you? Yeah. Then she laughed and kind of pushed my shoulder and she moved on because she thought I was joking. Be not unequally yoked. But they gain the victory, and that's the beautiful thing about God, is you can gain the victory. First of all, they cried unto the Lord. Let me just kind of give away a spoiler in these three. I don't think I'm going to get to all three of them. I'm already out of time. I'm not going to get to all three, but they cried unto the Lord. What is it in Exodus? When they become slaves, Joseph's family becomes slaves, and now they're serving Egypt with rigor. They cried unto the Lord. Let me give you a little clue in your battles of life. See, there's times I've struggled in the church and I thought to myself, man, maybe I should go for counsel. I think godly counsel is a good thing. And I think if you need godly counsel, you ought to go for godly counsel. I thought of two men that I'd go to for godly counsel, Brother Joe and Brother Terman. I thought, all right, what would they tell me right now in the place that I'm at, where I kind of considered the several times that I thought about going, what would they tell me? And I bet you both of them would look at me and say, what's your prayer life like? And then I walked it through in my mind. I'm going to tattle on myself a little bit. Well, maybe it ain't what it should be. And I could just see them look at me and say, well, counsel time is over. Go and spend time in prayer and come back to me in a week and let me know what you... Because that would answer so much. Not that if you pray more, God's going to magically do something for you and you just got to get... But it brings that closeness with you and God. I'm not talking about prayer as a thing to do, but it brings up closeness to you and God. It helps you bring you over, crying unto the Lord, God, help me. They cried unto the Lord. They called the kin of Caleb and Othniel, Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. This is passed on from generation to generation. They called the family of Caleb. Remember, Caleb and Joshua were the ones that came the 12 spies went into Canaan's land, and 10 of them come back and says, man, that land is beautiful. That land is wonderful. That land is awesome. The people there are huge. Whatever them people are eating, man, it made them giants. And we don't want to go. We can't beat somebody like that. And Joshua and Caleb says, wait a minute, guys. We serve the God of the Red Sea. We serve the God of the manna. We serve the God that can overcome all. What do you mean we can't go in there? That's this Caleb. Joshua stood up, and I always put Joshua and Caleb so much alike, and they had more interaction after that time. We see it in the scripture. But Joshua 24 and 15 says, and if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers you served, where were they on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. No matter what. You guys are all intermingling. We will serve the Lord. Who did they go to? Who did they go to when they were in trouble? They went to that family that was successful in what they did. How many of you feel comforted? And there's nothing wrong in this. How many of you feel comforted when somebody was lost in sin stands up and testifies how God touched their life and brought them into... Isn't that awesome? Doesn't that give you hope that you can do it too? But I love to sit there and listen to a young man or a young woman or an old man or old woman says, I started serving the Lord 50, 60, 70 years ago when I was 8 years old, and I've never stopped. Some of us can't relate with people like that. Brother Terman talks about preaching when he was 16 years old. Wasn't he pastoring at 16 or 19 or something like that? He started pastoring extremely young. I listen to Brother Terman talk, and I think to myself, I can't attain. I can't reach. I can't realize. Man, I wish I had that. David Wilkerson, third generation preacher in New York City. Third generation preacher. He did some incredible things. I thought to myself, oh, I wish my dad were a preacher too. Oh, I wish. And I appreciate both ends of that though, because if somebody can serve the Lord all their life without falling into temptation, teach me how, O great one. Teach me how. I may not be able to go back till I was 8 years old, but I can start today. Show me how I can be successful from today forward. How I can fight those battles of life. Joshua says, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. His like spirit, Caleb, through the generations, Othniel comes. And Othniel says, hey, look, I saw it in my dad. I saw it in my grandpa. We can serve the Lord. We can do this. We need to cry unto God. We need to separate ourselves. See, if I was to be able to go on and if I was to be able to dig in deep, I would talk about Ehud. Ehud was awesome. So God, another time, Israel serves the Lord for a while under Othniel, then they fall away from God again. Up and down. Up and down. Church, I'm striving for consistency. But let me tell you what, your life will always have a lot of ebbs and flows, ups and downs. Ehud found himself in the same place, in the same predicament. I love teaching. This is another one I teach to the boys. So I got a list. I'm heading Brother Daniel's What Comes Out of a Man is What Defiles Him from Wednesday night. That was good. It took me a minute to get it, but that was good. But it says that Ehud, he God calls him to deliver Israel. He didn't even have an army yet. He goes into the king, King Eglon. King Eglon was heavy. He had a couple rolls right around the midsection. Ehud goes in and he creates a dagger. And Ehud was left-handed. And he puts his dagger in so he can grab it with his left hand. And he says, Ehud, I got a message for you, but it's private. Put your guards out. I got something for you. Ehud's like, or Eglon's bad. Ehud's good. Eglon's sitting there and he says, hey, look, everybody leave. I want to know what Ehud's got for me. He's just one guy. What's he going to do, right? Ehud goes up. He shakes Eglon's hand, pulls out his flat-edged dagger, shoves it into his fat belly. The Bible said dirt came out. The fat closed on that flat blade dagger. He couldn't even pull it out. He had to leave it in there. But check this cool thing. Because then what Ehud did is Ehud left and he told the people outside, Eglon's covering his feet. He locks the door and he starts walking away. Some people say covering your feet means sleeping. Some people say covering your feet means going to the bathroom. You can choose what you want to believe. So he goes out the door, locks it, walks away. The servants stand there and think to themselves, oh, we're not going to go in there right now. We know how it smells when old Eglon's done. Just to let you know how I think about the situation. Sister Gina says, can I leave now? These are the things I've taught the boys for years. Ehud's gone to safety. The people finally say, wait a minute, this is kind of weird. So they go in, they find Eglon dead. Ehud goes out, he raises up an army, they go and they deliver Israel. I wrote down that sometimes you have to fight complacency and laziness. Because as you're growing and as you're seeking the face of God and as you're going deeper with God, sometimes it just gets easier just to take a nap. Sometimes it just gets easier to lay your head down. Sometimes it just gets easier to turn on the TV. Oh. Sometimes it's easier to just turn on the radio, listen to a podcast. Oh, that one might do me in. Right? Sometimes it's just easier to do so many other things. Laziness and complacency. That's a tough battle to fight, isn't it? I don't see much in here where it talks about Israel being lazy or complacent. What I see is them turning from God. I had a young man look at me one time and says, "This is going to be too hard for me to do. I'm out of here." And he left. It's tough. It will cost you nothing for salvation. It'll cost you your life to serve God. I'm not talking about laying it down in a casket. That'd be easy, wouldn't it? I'm saying you got to serve him with your life. That's a lot tougher. When that old battle's nagging at you in the mind saying, "It's just so much. It's just so hard. I don't think I'm up for the task." And you want to lay it down. It says that, once again, they cried unto the Lord. We need to... Then Ehud made a plan. Anybody ever make a plan? Our Sunday school made a plan. I'm so proud of these three. They're working their tails off to keep up with... It's tough to read all that. Every day in your scripture. Every day reading chapters at a time. Every day keeping something in your mind. Writing something down so you remember it for the next class. Can I get an amen? I got a whoop whoop. It's so important and it's so powerful. What happened? They made a plan. And I'm kind of a weak person, so I have to have a paper that I can follow. I have to have a book. And then I have to have eyes to look at me to hold me accountable. Make a plan that will work for you. And live it. I swear to you, I'm going to do this. And then live up to it. They made a plan. They cried unto the Lord. Ehud made a plan. He went in. He gained a small victory first. He killed Eglon. That was a small victory because he still had an army to raise and an army to fight. Win the small victories. Rejoice in the small victories. Please, I get a little bit put off when somebody stands up and says, "This may not mean anything to anybody else, but it meant something to me." Who cares if it means anything to anybody else? Brag on your small victories. We need every victory that we can get, church. It inches us closer to the greater ones. It inches us closer. If people could just understand that. I don't have time to go into the rest of it. Shamgar comes up. He was fighting that old antagonistic. See, the Philippines were now all, they're on the scene. Anybody ever fight against that battle against antagonistic devils that's coming against you? I'll just say devils. Maybe it's not a true devil. Maybe it's not a true demon. It's just life just taking little nibbles at you. Little nibbles at you. We were over at Dancy's. We were tearing down a shed, what's now my chicken coop. I tore that down and then brought it home and then built it back up. We were over there tearing down the shed, and I got my arms up trying to lift something up, and I felt something right in my pocket. And I looked down, and her dog jumped up and bit me right on the pocket. Just pinched my skin. Just pinch. I thought, fresh. All right, that wasn't the first thing I thought, but afterwards, that's kind of funny. Just antagonizing. It didn't hurt, but I put that thing down. I'm like, "Oh, your dog just bit me." It was just I wasn't going to kick the dog. I wasn't mad at the dog. I wasn't mad at it. Anybody else ever heard of them? Antagonizing things coming at? And one time wasn't a big deal, but if that dog would have kept doing it, me and him would have had a talk. A serious talk. One of those talks that you have with children. I'd have spanked that dog. I'd have had something. And one that kept doing it, is what I'm saying. You ever have them antagonistic things just coming? So many small things. Death by a thousand blows, whatever. So many small things. I like the way that I wrote it down because I love it so much. Song of Solomon 2:15. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Everybody says, don't sweat the small stuff. Let me tell you what. Those small things, if allowed unattended, will get you. Will get you. The antagonism just keeps coming, just keeps coming, just keeps coming. It says that Shamgar, I'm going to read it because I love this. This is funny. And after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew other Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel. You can go over into Judges chapter 5, verse 6. It talks about how people couldn't pass on the highways. They had to go in the byways. They had to go the smaller roads, the back roads, because the Philistines would just, they didn't have enough power or control at the time to come in and wipe out Israel, but they, little bits here and a little bits there. It's kind of like what we've learned from terrorism in the last 10, 15, 20 years, isn't it? Just little attacks here, a little attack there until they terrorize you so much you're too afraid to fight back. Shamgar says, oh no, not I. I'm going to stand up against that old antagonism. I'm going to identify it for what it is. I'm going to see it for what it is. And I'm going to destroy it, wipe it out, and I'm going to deliver Israel. Church, we need to get a hold of them old antagonistic devils in our life, whether it's true devils or whether it's just those little antagonizing things of life that just keep adding up, keep biting us at the heel. We need to get victory over those things. We need to put it in their place so that we can keep pressing on for God, because if we allow those things to keep nipping at us, pretty soon we'll be afraid to put our hand in the water, won't we? I think a while back I told you about our little walks on my great-grandpa's creek. How that we take the walk in the creek and sometimes people, we get leeches on us. That grossed me out so much. My sister's got them, I believe, and my cousins got them. But one time, my one cousin, normally they just came right off real quick and easy. And one time, my cousin, I think it was my cousin Billy, we were walking, and he got one, and it wouldn't pull off. And that was just, and he had it on his leg. And I remember, I put him in the wagon, and I got on my lawnmower, and I'm driving him up to the house, up to the house so my mom can put the alcohol on it and pull it off like you're supposed to. And I'm driving to the house, and I turn around, and I look back, and that stupid thing's on his leg just sucking the blood out of his leg. And I was so turned off and so sickened, and it was so gross to me. That was the last time I walked in that creek. You see, I'd seen it before. It had been there before. I knew it was a possibility that one day I'd have that leech. But that one time, that was the straw that broke the camel's back. If you don't take care of the antagonizing whatever it is in your life. I just call it devil because I don't know how else to say it. And sometimes I do think he does use that antagonism to draw your attention away. Eventually you're going to get so fed up that you're going to say, no, no, I've had enough. I'm not going to do this no more. It may be water bursting in your camper, propane draining out faster than when you drive your truck. Whatever it is, it's just little nips in our life. Had enough. Had enough. Fighting the battles of life are not easy, church. One thing that's consistent, you got to continually cry unto the Lord. I'm not saying you haven't been, but don't let up. You may need to call on some help. Church, I need you to pray for me. Church, I need you to help me. I need somebody to be there. I need somebody to believe in me. You may just have to look at those small victories. You're making it. Look what we've been through last year, y'all. I'm looking at the future in this nation. I'm a little bit concerned. More so than ever before. But look what we've been through. And we're still walking. And we're still serving. And we can make it, church, if we keep pressing on. I love having Brother Joe there. 94 years old and he's still making it. He ain't no more special than I am. Well, he is, but you know. And if he can do it, so can I. And if I can do it, so can you. Because I ain't no more special than you. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Lord, I thank you for this gathering. I thank you for this church. I thank you for this people. As I stand before you and stand in your presence this morning, I just ask that you would look upon us. And some of us are fighting those battles in life, and maybe we want to just kind of, we don't want to quit you, Lord, but maybe we just kind of want to rest. We just want to let up a little bit. God, I pray that you stir our hearts so that we can lift our heads, square our shoulders, and press on through it all, through it all. I thank you for it, Lord, and I honor you for it. And for those that are driving through those battles, God, I pray a special visitation upon them through this next week, whereby they'll know without the shadow of a doubt that they can overcome and that they can be empowered. And Lord, let us to endure to the end, we pray in Jesus' name.